Hear the gospel lesson for the second Sunday in Lent, recorded in the 15th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came up from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So far, our lesson. I probably would have left right there. It was a most unkind thing for the Lord to say. That's what Dr. Luther says in a sermon on this text, commenting on our Lord's answer to this woman. The woman from Canaan has heard about Jesus and is convinced that he will help her and heal her daughter. And so she cries out to the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me." But the way that Jesus responds is certainly not the way that we would expect him to. Here, Jesus does not seem to be so very likable. But in spite of the treatment that she gets, she continues to cling to the good word that she has heard about him, pleads with him again, and then Jesus speaks very bluntly, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the people of Israel." And that, on the surface, would certainly seem to have been enough. It would have been enough for me. Because she's a Canaanite, there is no help for her. The only comfort that she has been taken away from her. The rug has been pulled out from under her. But even with that rebuff, which should have destroyed her idea of Jesus as a helper and as a comforter, she still clings to the word that she's heard about him. And so she follows him into a house and falls down at his feet and says, "Lord, help me." But is Jesus now kind? Does he turn to her now and give her what she asks for? No, he cuts even deeper when he says, "Why should I take the food of the children and give it to you, a dog?" As a Canaanite, she's a dog. Worse than a leper. And so this woman has had taken away from her all the self-respect that she could possibly have had. She's lost everything that could reasonably prop up her earthly happiness. And yet she still clings to her faith in this one of whom she has heard. Now, why does Jesus afflict this woman in this way? It's only at this point that her faith is illuminated for what it really is. And surely Jesus is trying to teach something to his disciples, who he will later send out. True faith in Christ doesn't mean just simply uttering his name, speaking pious language, or even living a life which is outwardly remarkable. True faith itself is shown in this woman by the fact that even in the face of Jesus' apparent rejection of her as unworthy, she still does not despair. She doesn't give up her faith in spite of everything that happens, but she continues to hold on to the word that she has heard about him. And so she says still again, "Yes, but this is your promise." And her argument is brilliant and irrefutable. She agrees that she's a dog. She agrees that she is the scum of the earth. But she says, "But don't the little dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table? Just give me the crumbs of your grace." The point? True faith believes the promises of God in spite of everything that it sees and experiences. Faith is the substance, the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, says the letter to the Hebrews in that remarkable definition of faith. True faith doesn't trust in what it sees, and it doesn't trust in its own actions or its own strength. The faith that our Lord Jesus calls great faith is only that confidence which, in spite of all loss, trial, temptation, and despair, still turns to God and says, "Lord, have mercy upon me. Give me at least the crumbs from your table." True faith struggles. It struggles day after day, and it does not come easy. King David was not a man of great faith when he could sit cozily on his throne and say, "Lord God of Israel, how good you have been to me." He was only a man of faith when he could say, "Lord, I have sinned and done this great evil in your sight. Against you, you only, have I sinned." Last week, it was just as shocking as it was a year ago when a young man opened fire on students on a college campus, killing several. Who knows what was on his mind, and we will certainly not even attempt to guess what it might have been. But acts like that surely typify the frustrations, not just of the younger generation, but of all of our generations, of all ages. Because in the face of everything around us, there is so much reason to despair. And yet, we do not need to think just about the state of affairs in the community or of the world. And we certainly don't need to think simply about the actions of others, because it's enough, more than enough, to think just about the actions and the thoughts in our own hearts. We hear the Apostle Paul say in last Sunday's epistle, "It is God's will that you should be holy." And when we hear that, and then we look at the sin not only around us, in others, but in our own selves, then there simply isn't very much, not much at all, to be hopeful about. How can I believe in righteousness, goodness, justice, and holiness when I can't even find it in my own heart. And when we look at our own persistence in sinful thoughts and words and deeds, how can we believe the promise of forgiveness? It simply can't be. And it's at this point that we are brought face to face with our own spiritual poverty, just as this Canaanite woman was. God's condemning law, his demand for holiness, says to us as much as Jesus does to the Canaanite woman, "You're a dog." Now, what does that have to do with the great faith of the gospel? It's the faith to which he calls us, a faith which stands in the midst of corruption, also in the midst of its own mess, and simply trusts the promise of God, which he has made to each one of you individually. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And when we believe that and simply take him at his word, then we are the same as the Canaanite woman. And Jesus says to us as well, "I have not seen so great a faith." To him alone be the glory. Amen.